It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Sean, you've got your Astros hat on right now. Where do you rank? Well, we're about to hear from this guy. Where do you rank Justin Verlander? Maybe not as, maybe not favorite Astros. That could, hell, you could like Michael Bourne. I don't know. But as far as most impactful Astros, since you can kind of understand baseball, where do you rank them?
Probably top five. I'd say
top five impactful top five in Astro. There.
Yeah, I would say it's hard to make the case for him being more impactful than Altuve at the very least. But as far as like the recent, you know, like the dynasty run, he's like right up there with like Altuve, Bregman.
I look at him and see his acquisition, his initial one, as a sign that the Astros are serious. Like, yeah. They were a nice story in 17, coming off the back sliding in 16 after the playoff run in 15, or at least the initial playoff, making the playoffs in 15. They were struggling at the moment they acquired him. Dallas Keuchel was your best pitcher, and there's some thought around the team from people who say they know things that team said thought they needed an acquisition. They needed some juice. It felt like the season was getting away from them, and then they went and acquired Verlander, took to the final moments. He had to be convinced to come here, and he did, and we know what happened afterwards. Impact, whatever you want to rate him as an impactful guy, I think it was the moment the Astros decided we're in. This is a title contending team now and in the future. Whether you believe in Jim Crane's saying or his quote that as long as he's here, the window's open, I think that acquisition opened up the window. It might have been a jar when they were a surprise top team in baseball until that downswing in 17. But when they acquired him, it was like, okay, they've opened it up. They got a shot to go win it all. And of course, they acquired Gerrit Cole a couple years later to keep it open. But I think that moment, when that came down, all right, we're not a cute story anymore.
Yeah, this is like we're making a run in the playoffs and we have a legitimate ace.
Yes.
Because before that,
Keuchel was good, but one really thought he should be at the top of a title-winning rotation.
Dallas Keuchel didn't. After the trade deadline, and the July 31st trade deadline, he had that interview in his locker room where he's like, it sucks that we didn't go out and get anybody because it feels like the front office saying that we can't win. They ended up making the waiver trade deadline, which... No. Try explaining that to someone right now who like didn't follow baseball in 2017.
Yeah, I know.
Being like, so there was the trade deadline. Yep. Uh huh.
Well,
there's another trade deadline.
For almost our entire lives, there was the waiver.
Yeah, but it's insane.
Trade deadline where yes, a very important piece to a potential title team has to get through waivers, and then a trade can be made.
But they know that they'll get through waivers.
Yes, because no one wants to be the team who disrupts this because they could be on the end of it at some point.
And then all for what? Like, so you get pissed off Justin Verlander, who needed to be talked to going to the Astros, now he's going to be psyched to go to the Orioles?
There are several reasons why no one ever screwed that up, and it's just always expected to go through, and it always does. And it happened for the Astros, and we saw that they went on to win the World Series. Well, no longer an Astro. Now he has
left before.
That's true. It's not the first time he's left. But he is a Giant, and of course... people are going to ask him about his tenure with the Astros. So here's Justin Verlander. On his tenure and the final season with the Astros and also the the new beginnings with the Giants?
I've had a phenomenal ride with Houston. It's been a hell of a chapter of my career. You know, the second chapter coming back from New York wasn't what I would have hoped. And when I got traded back, I did, you know, I felt like I pitched pretty well, helped them get to the playoffs. You know, really last year left a sour taste in my mouth, not with the organization, just with myself. I hold myself to a standard that I want to pitch. It's why in my contract, I had 140 innings, somewhere around there, to trigger my player option. If I didn't, and I could have fought for more, or not had that innings option when I was negotiating with the Mets. But I want to earn my keep. And I felt like if I didn't at least throw that many innings, I sure as hell didn't earn what I was making. So, I didn't deserve to have the option for that anyway. So, I wish I had pitched better last year. I wish the injuries hadn't happened, but look, man, I'm not somebody that lives in the past. I've had just a phenomenal run in Houston. And if that's done, it's done. Never know what's going to happen. Obviously I never would have forecasted going back as quickly as I did. So you never want to close a chapter on anything in this game, but this new chapter, I couldn't be more excited about, man. I can't tell you how refreshing, that's the wrong word. Exciting it is for me when you can tell the energy of the not only the organization, but a lot of the players that reached out and how excited they are to have me here. Not that it wasn't exciting to be in Houston, but you know, I've been there for 7 or 8 years now. So everybody knows me. It's you know, you kind of lose that a little bit. So, just having the guys reach out, and everybody I spoke to, just especially once the deal was done, telling me how excited they are, means a lot.
Look at Justin Verlander leaving open the opportunity to come back. You never know. Never know. Hey, always keep an option open, right?
It's happened before. I mean, yeah. if anyone has to leave the door open of like, I don't know, maybe I play for the Astros again. It has to be Justin Verlander.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. He would know that anything can happen when it comes to him and a reunion with the Astros.
I know it probably has happened before, but I can't imagine there's been that many players that have been traded to the Astros twice.
Yeah,
like major league players.
I don't have any Tim Kirchin in me, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
No, never have.
I always thought, you know who Dale kind of reminds me of? Tim Kirchin.
That would not insult me. He's one of the best baseball minds.
Oh yeah, no,
ever. Just wrong. Just the wrong assessment of who I am. I appreciate the thought though. A third time, huh? A reacquisition of Justin Verlander, huh? Is
vet minimum? I would say
what? Hold on,
veteran minimum.
If he's going good in San Francisco, but they're out of it, and the Astros, because they're the Astros, have an issue with arm injuries to their starters.
That would never happen. But okay,
okay, sure. Would you? You can't wait until it's trade deadline time. You have to make your side or your feelings known right now.
Waiver trade deadline?
That doesn't exist anymore. We've discussed it. Would you say yes? Do it. You got right now. You can't. I'm telling you, he's having a pretty good year.
Okay.
I don't know what that means to you, but he's having a pretty good year, and the Astros need an arm.
I'm thinking good enough to where he could start a
playoff game. Yes.
Not be healthy scratch like he was last year.
Yes. We're talking about a reinvigorated Justin Verlander.
I mean, yeah, you'd do it.
There it is.
Of course you would.
There it is.
This team traded for Yusei Kikuchi last year.
Look what they turned him into.
Yeah.
He got a giant deal from an ALS rival, right? Didn't he go to the Angels? Did he go to the Angels?
Yes.
Okay.
He went to an ALS team. I won't call him an ALS rival.
Play him enough that I guess they're a rival. They've never. When's the last
time
the Angels
played a meaningful?
When's the last time the Angels and the Astros played a game that meant something to both teams?
Literally never.
Never. Right?
Never.
They've never been good at the same time, right?
No. I mean, No, because the one time they made the playoffs with Trout, it was like 2014,
right before the Astros run kind of started. That surprising 2015 season. Yeah, it's been a decade.
I mean, like they barely played a meaningful game with the Rangers before 2 years ago.
But all the games against the Rangers are meaningful, Sean. There's a silver boot. to win.
The Astros always won it when they were in the AL West.
There was one year where the Astros would have made the playoffs, except they got their ass kicked by the Rangers.
That's 2016.
Yeah, they would have made it if they would have just been average against the Rangers in that series. So sometimes the Rangers take the Astros cookies. They did it that year, and they did it in the ALCS a couple seasons ago now. So let's not just poo-poo the Rangers. Despite what? Who was it who joined the Rangers who said?
Jock Peterson.
It's time for them to take over. Okay, Jock Peterson.
I think happened over the break, so I didn't get to get this take off. I'd be so pissed off if I was a Rangers fan. I'd be like, we beat them to win a World Series.
It's true.
By that time, like 14 months ago. We're not taking it back from them.
It's ours. You can fool yourself into saying it's yours. The last meaningful time those two teams faced off, the Rangers came in here down 2-3 and took two.
Yeah, and including game 7 where they won by a million.
The game was over quickly.
But yeah, Jock Peterson's going to bring back glory to the Texas.
Look, you can't trust anything a former Dodger or current one has to say anyway. What would he know about what goes on in this state? Jock Peterson.
Big Jock Peterson.
Well, we'll see him a lot.
This puka shell necklace.
Yeah. Even when that was a thing, I hated guys who... Hate is strong. That's strong. Hate is strong. Even when that was a thing when I was younger, the puka shell guys are like, in my head, what are you doing? What's this? Why is it? If you were a puka shell guy, look, I understand it was a trend. Just know that a certain snarly kid who saw you was like, this is stupid. This is stupid. Maybe you got the girls. I don't know. Maybe the girls liked it. And if they did, all power to you. Do what you have to do. Use whatever's in your bag. Understand what you're capable of, like one Jason Whitlock. Imagine him with puka shells.
That peanut butter skin.
There it is. Look, as creepy as that is, it's better we choose that as part of the show than the other thing he said. It's better that it's a peanut butter skin.
What, that I know I'm capable of?
No, what he says about, you know what I'm talking about. Why am I explaining? Sean knows exactly what I'm talking about. I was like, actually, Sean, no. And I was like, wait a minute.
The other thing he said in that clip.
Yeah, the other thing he said in that clip. We go from a beloved figure in Houston to a not-so-beloved one. We'll hear from, well, we won't hear from, we'll read some quotes from One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish when we come back. He has, at least he believes he had a pretty, pretty big say in what the Texans are now. We'll talk about it and see if we believe anything of what he said when we come back.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we heard from Verlander. Let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm going to set it up. Well, Sean will set it up with the sound so you know the voice and the person this is coming from when I read these words that are mostly things we all hear from people outside of our business who come in and tell us how things should go. It's a lot of business speak. We've all heard these things. But here's the sounder to set it up.
All right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that is Jack Easterby talking to people in South Carolina. It might be a church or something. I don't remember. He was talking. He was given some talk, and it led to that. Here's what he said about his time in Houston. And as I said, maybe taking the approach that what is going on now, the two consecutive division title wins, two consecutive appearances in the divisional round of the playoffs. I think from these quotes, he thinks he has a lot to do with it. Here's Jack Easterby. I can understand that sometimes when you're changing out workflows, that's your first clue that this is going to be a bunch of nonsense. He has these quotes in the Sports Business Journal. Changing out workflows or reporting structures or how an organization may function to try to improve it, that can be hard on people. But that does not mean it's not worth it. He goes on to say, it's worth it because what we saw is that an improved workflow in the building, an improved communication structure, and an infusion of continued high character, smart, tough, dependable people increases the sustainability of the long-term vision. The more you bring in those types of people and the more you fill the building with people that can perform their tasks at an elite level, the more you give the building an opportunity for sustained success. So he set the groundwork for what's happening here. They went in, cleaned out what they need to clean out, and now you see the results. Of course, he's been long gone. Nick Caserio was around when he was there, so that's one of the ties. I'm not sure who else in that building was around when he was here beyond the owners, but one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish thinks his time in Houston was at least a foundation or helped build the foundation for what's going on here. It is a Sports Business Journal, so words like workflow, I guess fit, sustainability, all those things, but it is real like business mumble mouth stuff.
Yeah, it's, synergy.
Yeah, that too. We need to be aligned, which the Texans were using at a time.
They'll have to circle back.
Yeah, it's all the, like I said, it's all the things that if you are, whatever business you work in, if they bring in some type of consultant to help things go better, at least in their eyes, these are the words that are going to be used. It'll be in PowerPoints. Maybe you're in a business that uses those words. Sure, it sounds like I'm insulting you, but it just sounds empty to people who are doing a job a certain way and hearing from an outsider, which is, despite being in that organization, that's what Jack used to be was. He's been in football programs on the college level and on the NFL level, but he's not a football guy.
Yeah. So when he's coming in there talking about streamlining the logistics,
yeah, all that stuff, everyone's rolling their eyes. No one wants to hear this. We all know how that sounds like. We all know the reaction. Okay, we've got a meeting. Hour long. Okay, I'm going to hear some stuff that does not matter. I'm going to go back and do my job the way it should be done. But I will sit here because what else can I do? That might have been a lot of the Jack Easterby experience, except he had all, well, not all power, but a lot of it. The power, because the ownership group gave it to him. So if you're wondering how the Texans built themselves back up from how awful they were, look to workflow.
All right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
and that too. That guy was walking around the building instructing people how a good football organization should be built. Dark days, man. The worst we get out of D'Amico is maybe not answering a question.
Yeah.
That's all. It's much better.
The night is always darkest before dawn.
Sure. Sure. Maybe sunset will happen on Saturday. We'll see. Like, at least they have the opportunity, right?
They have the opportunity.
One shot. One opportunity.
This is everything they've ever wanted, which is to make the AFC title game.
Yeah, something they've never done before. It's 20-plus years. And forget about never making it. They're generally not competitive. Like, even the Ravens game where it was TJ Yates.
The Yates one was competitive. The Osweiler-Patriots game was, like, weirdly competitive.
But no one ever really thought
They never had, like, a chance. Like, they never had the ball to win. Yeah.
Yeah, they never had the ball down a score with the chance to tie, right? That never came about, right?
I can't remember. First quarter, second quarter.
Yeah, like, when the game was in the balance in the second half. I don't remember a time where if the Texans come down here and score. I think it was if the Texans come down and score, it gets really interesting.
Yeah, I think it was, like, a two-touchdown
game. Yeah, I don't think they ever were within one possession third or fourth quarter.
The freaking Dynasty Patriots.
Yeah, so with Brock Osweiler. Yeah.
You also were like, there's no way they lose those.
Yeah, much like...
Not even about the Texans winning, it's no way they lose.
Well, this is kind of where I stand with the Chiefs. Are we there with them? There's no way this team in this moment can lose this game to the Texans.
I think it's different because it's not Brock Osweiler, it's CJ Stroud. That's like the little thin layer of, oh, okay. There's some hope there. I mean, that's the whole point of having a quarterback, a
franchise
like
quarterback. Yeah,
like quarterback like
he elevates you, even if you're not
In these big
supposed
games,
to. He's supposed to be the one.
You can now, at least talk yourself into
it. Now, it's a lot to put on the second-year player.
It is.
Maybe it's not him this year. Maybe it's him 2 years from now where it might not be the Chiefs. It might be some other team who's the juggernaut of that particular season. But you do have a quarterback who can bring you to a level where you can go find a way to win a game on the road.
I will say, there was a second-year quarterback that went into Arrowhead Stadium and won.
That was a title game, though.
Well, baby steps. Baby steps.
What I'm saying, that's the point. Sure, they'll lose a title game to Joe Burrow when Patrick Mahomes loses his mind in the second half. That can happen. They'll lose a title game to Tom Brady when D Ford jumps off sides.
But that's the only times they'll ever lose a title game. You just named the two times they've lost a title game.
When the completely unexpected happens. This, how much unexpected stuff would have to happen. The Texans are not just fighting what we might consider the worst of the Chiefs teams in their dynasty run. They're fighting history. History doesn't play.
Yeah.
But a lot of the elements that led to all the historic stuff the Chiefs are doing are still out there. Reed, Spagnuolo, Mahomes, Kelsey. And Chris Jones. Does it even really matter as long as those guys are there? Like all the other parts. As long as that four or five guys are there, does it matter?
I think recent history has shown it really doesn't. Just with the not just that they traded Tyreek Hill, that they let other guys walk, L'Jarius Sneed walk. It's also the fact that like when they trade Tyreek Hill, they're like, sure, we'll figure it out with Mecole Hardman and Kadarius Toney,
Mecole Hardman,
Sky Moore, and all these
guys that washouts aren't good. Yeah, Sky Moore doesn't play. Kadarius Toney obviously not there. They brought in Hollywood Brown, who's back from injury.
I was gonna say this year is actually the year of the last two Super Bowls that they've won, where you at least look at the names that they have playing receiver, and you're like, okay,
yeah, DeAndre Hopkins,
and Hollywood Brown. Again, this is I'm saying almost nothing, but they are a big step up from MVS and Kadarius Toney.
And
I know that's like the faintest praise I can possibly give.
And Mecole Hardman comes back and catches the game-winning touchdown in last year's Super Bowl. That's how things go for them.
Well,
he's not playable. We don't want him here anymore. He goes to, the Jets and crashes out early.
And then just boomerangs right back.
Comes back, catches the touchdown to win the Super Bowl. That's what the Chiefs do.
Oh, well.
But at least we got a shot. At least we get to go out there and see how it goes.
Any given Saturday at 3:30.
Very specific.
Texans are good at Saturday 3:30s.
They're now 6-2?
Or 6-2.
Or is it 7-2?
I don't know.
I think it's now 7-2.
I also didn't go back to see if other divisional games were Saturday 3:30 games. Now that I think about it, maybe the Ravens game was.
Was the Chiefs game on a Saturday or Sunday last time?
I forget immediately.
Yeah,
that's why the start time stuff does not matter.
It doesn't matter. It's a fact of where you're playing and who you're playing. I kept talking about cold weather yesterday. Well, it was apparently 30 degrees when they went into Kansas City earlier this year, and they played an okay football game. They're in it, so maybe 27 or mid 20s or wherever it will be won't play a factor. We'll see what the feels like temperature is on the field, because that surely will be a story. Eric, I see you. You want to talk about whatever Eric Wong normally wants to talk about. So we'll get to that. If you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. We got a couple more segments here to go before we wrap it up. Art's tweeting me about real news and asking if it's horn worthy. Art, we ain't a show for real news. That's all complicated stuff. Like if Quinn Ewers declaring for the draft, that's the stuff we can talk about. I didn't even read the tweet. All I saw was FDA. I was like, no, we're not talking about that. I have no basis of knowledge about what the FDA is doing. I appreciate the input on the show. We always appreciate our listeners. As I said, Eric, we'll get to you when we come back.
Looted Red Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back.
you're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really.
We'll get to a story of Victor Wembanyama getting a real taste of what American sports culture is like. If he didn't know already, he does now. We'll get to that. But let's talk to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill. I know the Rangers-Astros series is not as riveting as your beloved Marlins race series. It's still a pretty good series.
I don't care about the Marlins.
But anyway, so you talk about Justin Verlander coming back. Why not Jose Urquidy? I mean, he's still available to come back. I mean, I don't know why. Nobody has been signed yet. And Alex Bregman's getting a deal from the Tigers as opposed to the Astros. You think the Astros will swoop in and sign him? And Dory Taylor dropped a hint that she might be doing the OS yesterday's show. What's your take on that?
First, hang up and listen. I don't believe the final part, so I'm not going to talk about it. Urquidy, why are the Astros bringing back? They had every opportunity to keep him. They waived him. And as you said, no one picked him up. If Urquidy proves himself to be a major league pitcher and healthy, cool. Great for him. Don't think the Astros are interested. As far as, and then he's, what else did he start? What else did he go to? I don't remember.
Marlins Reyes.
Is that, but there wasn't anything after that? He just went to Urquidy and Verlander thing? Everyone thinks the Rangers and Astros thing isn't riveting. Why am I the one being attacked? Am I the one out of bounds by talking about that series like it doesn't mean that much, although the last...
I was going to say it was riveting in 2013.
Yes, in a playoff series, riveting. All MLB playoffs are riveting for the most part.
And in the regular season that year because they're battling out for the division.
But it was because of the division, not because it's Rangers Astros.
Yes.
It was what was at stake.
They don't like each other.
Yeah.
There's none of that.
It's none of that. Like, if it's the middle of June and the Rangers stink or the Astros stink, hopefully not. We haven't dealt with the Astros stinking in a long time. No one's, I got to tune in because it's the Rangers on the other side. Cut it out. Why am I taking this man seriously? He trapped me. I just realized that. He's trapping me. If a call ends with Joy Taylor and OnlyFans, he's trapped me. You got me. Credit to you, Eric. You got me. Your Cowboys are interested in talking to Robert Saleh. I was thinking about this. With all the coaching news, treat every report like it's a report on a crime. Every coach is a person of interest. Robert Saleh is a person of interest for the Cowboys. Aaron Glenn, person of interest for the Jets. Gets a little complicated. You keep doing that.
Yeah.
Who else is a person of interest? Marcus Freeman is a person of interest for the Bears.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike McCarthy also a person of interest for the Bears.
Definitely. In fact, Bears fans would actually think that's a crime. We got a Bears fan out there who was losing his mind at the thought of Mike McCarthy being a Bears head coach.
We don't really know what the Jags.
Ben Johnson, I think, is who they want.
What the Raiders are thinking.
The Jags' person of interest is Ben Johnson.
Are the Jags people of interest for Ben Johnson?
There was a Jag or Jacksonville radio station. Some guest came on and said that Ben Johnson's first choice was the Jags. Don't know the validity of that, but I think the Jags are definitely interested. We just don't know that Ben Johnson is. Ben Johnson's going to be choosy. He can't speak anymore. All that had to have happened last week. Now it's all football all the time, him and Aaron Glenn. Now, if they get upset this week, then they got plenty of time to talk to teams. But right now, Lions Commanders is what they have to focus on.
Ben Johnson's focus on Jags Commanders.
Yeah. Who was the coach? Oh, was it Mike Elko who slipped up and said, we're not focused on Texas? Or we're only focused on Texas when he was in Auburn?
Yeah.
All we're going to hear from Ben Johnson when asked about Jared Goff is him slipping up and mentioning Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, just, you know, I think Trevor's really been, Aaron Glenn's doing the same thing with the Jets.
With the Jets. For whatever reason, he keeps mentioning Sauce Gardner. Aaron, what about your cornerbacks?
I think we put Sauce on Terry McLaurin. I think we're good.
Well, you can't actually do that, Aaron. He doesn't play for the Lions. What's that?
Oh.
Yeah.
I meant a Meek Robinson.
Oh, you don't think if – well, the Lions are beat up defensively. They had a great game against Sam Darnold, but that's like late season Sam Darnold. So do I really give them that much credit for that? But if the Lions get their ass kicked by Jayden Daniels, every Lion fan on earth is going to be like, oh, okay.
Guys are distracted.
Guys weren't even focused. Dan Campbell lost the plot. All his two coordinators were focused on other jobs. That will be the excuse.
And now he just needs to hire two different coordinators, and we're right back. He has to nail two more coordinator hires.
Yeah.
That's all he has to do.
It's a tough business, man. You built this team. Ben Johnson, I don't remember how well thought of he was before he got that job. Hell, he was on the Dolphins staff, and I don't even remember him.
I was going to say, I don't know if he
was thought
was
of.
Thought of.
Yeah. Aaron Glenn, we know the name. We know the name. But he turned those two, I wouldn't say hot names at coordinator, into maybe the hottest coordinators in the game. And if they get jobs, you're going to have to go find two more. Does he hire from within? Or does he go get two guys out of the organization? Just how it works. That's why your head coach, it's got to be more than just an X's and O's guy or a leader of men. It's got to be a great hirer, too. And that might be what the Lions have to do, no matter how the season ends. It'd be great to close this out with a Super Bowl, because it feels likely that you're losing your two play callers. We will see how that plays out. I mentioned the Wembanyama story. We get to that before we go to break. Victor Wembanyama. The news this week was he gave a jersey to J.J. Redick's kid when they were in L.A. It was him and another Spur. Was it Chris Paul? I think it was Chris Paul. They gave jerseys to J.J. Redick's kids. Well, that's not the only time he's done it. He did it December 27th. Why do I know that date? Because the Spurs highlighted it when he did it. It was a very small child with the Wembanyama jersey, and he swapped his life-size jersey with the kid. So the picture, obviously, is of him holding up this tiny little jersey while the kid has one that's engulfing him. We're talking less, about 2 weeks later, maybe 3 weeks later. That jersey that he gave that kid up for auction on Golden. Welcome to American sports culture. Well, they will send a kid in to trick you into giving up that jersey.
Or we don't know that kid's circumstances.
I'm going to lean into some parent. Hey, we're going to get you a Wembanyama jersey. You're very small and very cute. Victor's going to be a sucker for this. We got a game-worn Wembanyama jersey. The unfortunate part about it was it wasn't a game where he was very remarkable. He had a team-high 19 points.
Ooh.
7 rebounds, 4 assists. He did have 6 blocks.
There we go. That's, a 3-by-5?
But it wasn't like his Knicks performance.
Yes, not quite. Not quite.
On Christmas?
Double,
was that Christmas?
Or, yeah.
It wasn't that. It was 2 days later. Maybe he was tired. He still was the team leader in points, and he gave up that jersey, and now, you know, Victor's like, you know what? Great for that kid. I got a fan. He's little kid's wearing my jersey. Nah.
Do you think J.J. Redick's kids are going to put up the jerseys for auction?
There are jokes to be made about why they would need to fundraise. I'm not going to make them.
Because their dad's about to get fired?
No.
Other things? Okay.
That would be one that I would make. The one that flashed in my head is one I will not make.
Okay.
No. I don't think the jerseys Chris Paul and Victor Wembanyama gave to the Reddit kids are going to be up for auction.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out, but okay. I think you're right.
I hope you do keep track of that, but it feels unlikely.
I mean, what it'll take is NBA Central to tweet out.
NBA
the
Central,
same way I found out about this one.
Yeah, NBA Central's tweeting out this real story. The fake story of Chris Paul's jersey being up for auction will be from NBA Centel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there it is. And Wimby quotes the NBA Central tweet and just laughs. Hey, man, don't. That's the game, Wimby.
Finessing the game.
I don't care.
That kid's an entrepreneur.
I'm telling you, Wimby. I don't know if they were even in San Antonio for the game. I'll have to look it up. Maybe they're in Brooklyn. That kid was sent in for one purpose, to get that jersey from you. They were hoping for a triple-double, maybe another 30-point night, but you were the team leader, so that'll
points.
Work. Yeah. A game-worn Wembanyama jersey. Don't get fooled again, Wimby. Look at the parent and decide, is that a collector? Is that a grifter? Is that a finesser? Before you make your decisions. Or just be safe and just swap them with famous kids. So you don't even have to worry about this happening.
Julius Randle's kid.
Yeah. Just maybe you don't want to give it to an opponent for whatever reason. You know, when Deuce Tatum is in town, give him the jersey.
Jalen Green's 22-year-old Steph kid.
Maybe you play the Rockets four times a year.
I mean, you're going to run out of people to give it to at some point.
Yeah. Yes.
Any person older than me?
Yes. Exactly. Well, that's true. Amazingly. Is Jalen Green's stepson older than Wembanyama?
Yes. Right? Wembanyama has to be like 21. 20.
He just turned 21 on the 4th. I think it's funnier to find out.
What's up, big bro? Here's the jersey.
I think it's funnier to find out if we're doing this. Not the whole Jalen Green's kid is, or Jalen Green's as old as his stepson. It's how many other NBA stars are younger than Jalen Green's stepson.
Is Amen Thompson younger than Jalen Green's stepson?
Let's look it up.
I know Reed Shepard.
How much of the Rockets roster? It's younger. Amen Thompson is 21 years old. Wild.
Wild stuff.
Absolutely wild. We know Cooper Flagg, all the top rookies next year are going to be younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what it is. It is what it is. But Victor Wembanyama. Was he duped? Was that kid just a regular fan? Or
On hard times.
Not my theory is they went out and bought that little ass Wembanyama jersey for that kid. Probably certainly cost less than a full size one. Go out there, turn on the charm, get Victor to swap, and now we got money. We made some money.
Yeah.
You got to think the couple tickets they bought, the jersey they bought to fool Victor, and the jersey they got back.
Yeah.
Good investment. I love a grift. Shout out to those grifters. We got one more segment to go before we wrap it up here. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And they have NBA projections that you can choose more or less than. I don't know if you can do more or less on jersey swap, but you can do it on Victor Wembanyama's points against Memphis tonight. 19.5. Do you like the more? Do you like the less? Memphis coming beat up from having to play the Rockets earlier this week. You also have the Rockets in action in Denver. Maybe think Jalen Green continues to go off. His hot January continues. Or you think it's going to be a Jokic versus baby Jokic matchup, and you want to take the mores or lessers on those. They have any sport that you want. They have NHL. They already have NFL projections out for this weekend's games. They have Monday's college football playoff with a Will Howard bonus square where it's all he has to do is pass for more than 1 yard, and you win some money on Prize Picks. They even have the new weird TGL league with Tiger Woods in a golf simulator. I don't know the format. I don't know how to make money on that. Maybe I'll watch and start doing it on Prize Picks. What you'll do, you'll download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES at Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to get your money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I mentioned that Mike McCarthy is a person of interest for the Bears. Well, they're going to have their in-person interview with him this afternoon. Feels like that's going to go down. Mike McCarthy back in the NFC North. it's got to be a real downer. You get rid of Eberflus, you got to sit through the interim coach experience. But hey, you're one good hire away from giving Caleb Williams the right foundation to get this thing turned around. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to hire the recently failed coach from the Cowboys. Cool.
Professionalism. That's what he adds.
Like the guy who...
He raises the floor.
The guy who openly admitted to lying about the last time he got a job.
That was the last time.
This time. What lie is Mike McCarthy going to acknowledge after he gets hired by the Bears? I watch all of Caleb Williams' snaps. Even dating back to Oklahoma.
And at the press conference, like, I didn't watch BS.
Pac-12?
You think I watched Pac-12 action?
That arcade offense that Lincoln Riley was running, that ain't real football. Why would I watch that? So there it is. He was Cowboys, not even trash. I mean, because they thought about keeping him, but didn't come to an agreement. Looks like he's well on his way to becoming the Bears coach. I guess it could either be Marcus Freeman or Mike McCarthy. You make your choice. Whatever leadership packet that Ben Johnson put together, apparently not that impressive, if he even decided to do it. Like, what are you asking me for? Beat it. I'd rather coach in Jacksonville anyway. So there it is. Not long out of a job, Mike McCarthy. Maybe less than a week before he's named the Bears head coach. Good money if you can get it. Sorry, Bears fans. And really, I only know one. He's going to join you next. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean, Sean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.